Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Friedrich Nietzsche was one of the most influential philosophers who ever lived, although the average man may not have read one word from him. He was the philosopher who paved the way for the destructiveness of Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich in Germany. He believed in what is called power ethics, that is, might makes right. He was opposed to Christian morality, the God of the Bible, and to Christ himself. In his book, Ecce Homo, which means Behold the Man, Nietzsche called Christian morality the most malignant form of all falsehood. He thought it was poisonous, decadent, weakening. It produces nincompoops, he said, not men. Nietzsche thought that meekness, gentleness, and humility were signs of weakness. In contrast to Nietzsche's unchristian and anti-Christian morality, the New Testament exalts humility and vigorously condemns haughtiness. Peter encouraged the early Christians, "Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and gives grace to the humble." 1 Peter 5:5. Before we analyze this text, I want to read some other passages dealing with humility. The prophet Micah asked, "Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Micah 6:6-7. The prophet provides God's answer to all of those penetrating questions. "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" Micah 6:8. James adds, "But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." James 4:6-10. Peter urged the early Christians to be clothed with humility. The Greek word rendered "be clothed" is an interesting one. It literally refers to the knot of a girdle. It referred to the white scarf or apron worn by a slave. Is it possible Peter was thinking of the apron Jesus wore when he washed his disciples' feet? Whether or not Peter was consciously thinking of our Lord's act of humility and service when he girded himself with an apron, we have no way of knowing. But what greater act of humility can be found in all of God's Word? Except one, which I shall mention in just a moment. After our Lord had shown his willingness to serve, he said, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done unto you." John 13:14-15. The single greatest act of humility is explained in these words, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And what happens when one humbles himself in the sight of God? "Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name." Philippians 2:5-9. My friends, I exhort you to humble yourself before God that you may be exalted. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.